It's time for Howlers and Growlers. A weekly show from our Arizona Coyotes writing pack, bringing you the latest news, rumors, trades, player grades, prospects, and much more. And much more. And much more. From training camp to the playoffs, from draft day to the trade deadline, our team covers everything ice hockey in the hot desert. So sit back, grab your favorite cold beverage, and get ready for Howlers and Growlers.
Welcome to Howlers and Growlers. I'm your host, Pat Brown, and with me as always, my line mate, Haynes Evan. Haynes, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What about you, Pat?
Doing great. Just another great day of taping. Love it. Also joining us, our editor, our producer, prospect guru, credentialed Vancouver Canucks reporter here at the Hockey Writers, Matthew Zator. Matthew, how are you?
Doing good. Happy to be on another show.
Really appreciate you joining as always. You're a trooper and a real friend of the show, and we love that. So just to remind you guys at home, this week's show being brought to you by Morning Skate, a daily newsletter delivered to your inbox Monday through Friday, jam-packed with the best hockey stuff on the planet. It's a daily dose of the latest NHL news, rumors, history, funnies, quizzes, et cetera, just a little hockey fun and information brought to you every day of the week from the Hockey Writers. You'll see a link in the show description down below, so check it out, sign up, and start getting that news. Speaking of news, you know the spirit of the show, so I want to know what you guys are drinking tonight, and I'll start. In honor of the NBA leading 34-9 Phoenix Suns, I've got a local Suns brew brought to you by Four Peaks Brewery. It's a good little Kolsch style ale. Good stuff. Good stuff. Matthew, guests, you're next. What do you got?
I am very boring. I'm going with water today.
Yes, that's okay.
I am not feeling the best today, so I'm just going to drink the water and hydrate.
Well, then this may be like a Michael Jordan flu-ridden performance. So fantastic, and hope you feel better soon. Thanks for joining us. And why do I have two NBA references in the first 2 minutes of our show? Haynes, bring us home. What are you drinking?
Matthew, you're not alone. I didn't feel good 2 days ago either from a whole bunch of things, and I'm feeling a little better now. So I'm not on the beer tonight. I'm a Mountain Dew fan, so I'm trying out – well, I'm not trying out. I've had it. I'm doing the new Mountain Dew flavor. It's called Spark. It's a raspberry lemonade Mountain Dew. It is amazing. You should get it.
I may have to hit the store after the show. I like it. It sounds good. So, all right. Well, two basketball references, a few drinks, an advertisement. Let's talk some hockey, shall we? And we're going to start off with the man, the myth, the legend, Clayton Keller, the Arizona Coyotes representative for the All-Star game. He got the nod. It's easy to see why, right? 29 points, 14 goals, 15 assists. And frankly, just having one of the best years of any Coyote this season. Clear leader on the team. You see him putting in the work. There was kind of a lull there in the middle of the season where it seemed like his trajectory could go either way. And he's answered the bell, in my opinion, with flying colors. Clear leader, wearing the A for a reason. Andre Tourigny cannot say enough good things about him, and it's easy to understand why, in my opinion. So, Haynes, we're going to come to you next. Clayton Keller. Yes, I had it right the first time. Clayton Keller, all-star. Did he deserve it? Would you like to have seen someone else go? What do you think?
Oh, exactly. I think, I mean, you know, first off, I'm going to say yes to Clayton Keller being an all-star every season, considering he's my favorite guy, and I wore a whole shirt.
Yeah, what a silly question I
on the show you. Last week. If you didn't see the episode last week, no, he totally deserved it this year. Clayton Keller is playing up to that standard of that $7 million contract that he was given. And he's playing exactly to the level of that guy that deserved that contract when he was given it, you know, 3 years ago. And, you know, some people may have thought Shane Gostisbehere deserved it. I think he would have been a great guy if he'd gotten the nod. But at the end of the day, I think Clayton Keller is your best guy on your team. I mean, he's, like you said, received praise from Tourigny. He's received praise from Bill Armstrong multiple times, who's even said that this guy's part of the future of this team going forward. Yeah. Andrew Ladd's giving him high praise for that A on his thing, how he's taken that next maturity level. I mean, you can't say anything not positive about Clayton Keller's game right now. He's everywhere. He's never giving up on the play, whether they're losing 6-0 or winning 5-3. He's always giving 100%. And that's just something that, one, you hope you see continue, but two, is just such a long time coming. And it's good to see him finally on that trajectory of, you know, maybe turning into that real superstar that everybody was hoping when he was drafted 7th overall.
Yeah, it makes sense. The point you made about Bill Armstrong as well, considering virtually nobody's safe on the roster, that is a huge statement. Yeah. One other thing I want to call out, a name you didn't say, a name really nobody thought about, but he's quietly having a decent season, is Phil Kessel. I mean, I realize he's not putting up the goals, but he's still got 26 points on 21 assists and 5 goals, which is, he's doing stuff. It's hard to see. You don't feel like you're seeing it, but he's doing stuff and he's putting up points. Matthew, your thoughts on Clayton Keller's selection to the All-Star game this year?
Well, I'm second week in a row on the show, and I'm going to talk about Clayton Keller. Last week, I was
there's talking not about a whole lot else to talk about.
Play the recording. I said it last week. He's a hard worker. He's deservedly an all-star. I said he was going to be the all-star, and look what happened. He was. Yep. Eight goals in his last 10 games. I mean, it just seems like it's surprising he hasn't scored in the game today.
One was redirected. He put to the net was redirected, but yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, hard worker, leader, like Andrew Ladd called him up being a great leader. Definitely deserves the A on his jersey. I think he deserves a C, in my opinion. I mean, Chychrun has had talk about him becoming captain, but he's also being talked about being moved. So
yeah.
Keller, I don't think he's going anywhere. He's going to be here for the long haul. I think he's the guy you kind of build around, especially at the forward group, and definitely deserves to be an all-star, in my opinion. He's got great skill. He's a great goal scorer. He's shown already. You mentioned the stats, 14 goals, 29 points. He's already, I believe he's matched his point total from last year, or his goal total he's matched. So he's got 14, and he had 14 all of last year. So on pace to shatter his career high. I think career high was like 21, I believe. So yeah, definitely deserved to be an all-star. Gostisbehere definitely should be there as well, but
yeah,
definitely Keller for sure.
Yeah. And look, I nothing but mad respect for Ghost, right? Because he's enjoying a career renaissance on one of the worst teams in the league. And you got to tip your cap to him. In fact, when nobody was putting up points early on in the season, he was, and he was helping the Coyotes navigate through some really difficult waters early on this season. So nothing but respect, but we got a unanimous board here. Clayton Keller, well-deserving. Congrats. Looking forward to watching him in Vegas. Should be a fun time. So let's turn our attention to the Coyotes. And quick disclaimer, at the time of recording, they're currently playing the New Jersey Devils. They're currently leading the New Jersey Devils. And we'll probably have a lot more on that on our next show. But just for the sake of argument here, even without tonight's game against the Devils, stunningly out of nowhere, the Coyotes are 4-3-2 in their last 9 games. Granted, some of that spans to their game against Anaheim. That's the first win that I counted, which was kind of before all the breaks. So that goes back quite a ways. But nonetheless, 4-3-2, including some wins over teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs and, impressive stuff. What is going right for this team that they are hovering around 500 in their last 10 games played? My opinion, Karel Vemelka. I mean, the man is playing, he's playing out of his mind. And the Coyotes have just been clicking. You see, they're obviously getting more comfortable in Andre Turini's new system. Nick Schmaltz was saying it just a few nights ago after his 3-point game where he kind of broke out of a slump. He said early on, everybody was kind of like, are we in the right place? Are we running this the right way? And now they're getting comfortable in it and it's starting to show. And I just think this team is, even though they're the second to last team in the league, they're surprising a lot of people that they're not number 32 on that board. Equally as surprising as that Montreal is number 32 on that board. But I just think they've put some things together and they're working well in the system. And obviously Karel Vemelka has a huge hand in that as well. Matthew, want to come to you next, Matthew, in terms of what the Coyotes are doing, 4-3-2 in their last 9 games. What's going right for the team?
Well, you mentioned Vemelka. I mean, beating the Maple Leafs kind of blows the huge discussion about losing to the Coyotes. But Vemelka was the reason. I mean, 2-1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, over 40 shots, I believe, was the ending. And I mean, I love it when any team beats the Maple Leafs. So when a team that wasn't supposed to even match their skill or whatever, and they do it, that's awesome. You mentioned even that, like, they're scoring goals is a big thing too. I mean, a lot of their games are not like they used to have hard time scoring. Now they got a few games where they've scored 5+.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you looking at the goal scores, we mentioned Keller already, the top players are being their top players. A surprising guy in Travis Boyd. He's got 10 goals. That's a career high for him.
Yep.
4 in his last 11. He scored in the game that's going on right now. So he's got 10 in the double digits for the first time in his career. It's awesome for a guy that was basically a throwaway from the Canucks last year, which I was hoping that he would do that with the Canucks, but didn't happen. But I mean, he's got skill. He's showing it. Another guy, Johan Larsson, he scored in this game as well. Mm-hmm. I picked the right players here. he's got 6 goals in his last 11, and all 6 have happened in the last 11. So first career hat trick against the Blackhawks too. So, I mean, they're scoring goals. Their players are producing goaltending. That's how you win games, and that's what they're doing.
Funny story about him scoring his first hat trick against the Blackhawks after the game, watching Shane Doan, because it took Shane a very long time. I forget. Haynes, do you remember the exact number of games? It took Shane a very long time to record his first career hat trick. He was razzing him a little bit outside the locker room. So that was kind of funny to see after that Chicago game. But good stuff, Matthew. You Nostradamus this week. I love it with all your picks. I love it. Haynes, your thoughts. Coyotes 4-3-2 in their last 9 games. What are they doing right?
Yeah. First off, I don't remember how many games it took him. I do remember his first career hat trick occurred on a buzzer beater against Evgeny Nabokov and the Islanders, though, because I remember seeing his face after he scored. And I remember Keith Yandel losing his mind when he did it to end up scoring his hat trick. But what's going right for this team is exactly what y'all said. I mean, this team is buying into the system that Andre Tourigny's brought over here. They're really building team chemistry, which, you know, you're going to lose soon with guys, you know, on the move coming up soon, but they're building chemistry right now with what they have, especially when their last, you know, 3 games, they were playing with a lot of calls from taxi squads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they've really bought in all together. But then look at guys like Clayton Keller. He's having a breakout season. Lawson Kraus, who I wrote about, he's having a breakout season. Johan Larsson's been on a tear right now recently. Travis Boyd's been on a tear recently. Ryan Dzingel, when he is healthy, is playing great. I mean, they're
Zinger.
They're clicking everywhere when they need to be. And I think it's finally starting to really click and mesh all together. Everybody's getting comfortable with another, and it's really paying off.
Yep. Great points. You know, it was a brutal stretch when they started the season. 2 road games in Florida and Carolina. There was a stretch, like 3 or 4 games in the beginning of the year, they played unbeaten teams. Like, it was pretty crazy. So that was also a contributing factor, I think, to the early season losing streak. By the way, for those keeping score at home, probably yelling at their TVs or phones or wherever you're listening to us, 1,161 games it took Captain Coyote to get his first career hat trick. 1,001. And great call, Haynes.
I remember the goal. I remember seconds. Who's against and the point goalie that was in net for it.
That's impressive. That's really good stuff. So
I know my Coyote facts.
I love it. I love it. Good stuff all around. So we got one more thing to talk about here in the front half of our show. And that's what is going to define a successful second half for the Coyotes. You know, as of taping, they're 9-24-4, last in the Central Division, second to last in the league. We all know this. But the question here is, what defines a successful second half for the Coyotes? Because they're not going to the playoffs. So, Haynes, we'll start with you. tell us, what defines a successful second half for the Coyotes?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, I did a little discussing with a couple of the guys, you know, I do the podcast with today, and we kind of all agreed the biggest thing, the most successful thing for the Coyotes here to do is not pull a Coyotes move, which would be perform well enough that you fall out of a top three pick. If you fall out within out of a 5 to 10, you have to think Bill Armstrong's looking at this as, I messed up the rebuild. This is another year we're going to have to rebuild for, and he might blow up ship even more. So for the Coyotes, realistically, it would be play good and continue to play like you are, but don't play so well that you knock yourself out of, you know, going for a top five pick.
You know, that's a good point. It goes back to the tanking mindset, yeah, which is always a hot topic, right? I will say, even if the Coyotes go on some sort of run and fall out of the top three, if Armstrong wants that badly to move up, he's got 3 first-rouners and 5 second-rounders to work with to be able to potentially move up if he needed to. And obviously you want to draft all that young talent because not all of your picks hit, but at the same time, you know, when you start accumulating all of those assets, now you've got something in your back pocket or an ace up your sleeve in case you do need to move up. So good perspective, just some food for thought there as well. Matthew, over to you. What defines a successful season for the second half of the season for the Coyotes?
Well, Haynes, you said pull a Coyotes. I say pull a Canucks. The Canucks do that too. They always play really well at the end when they look like they're going to have a really good pick. But that's aside. I agree. I think that's what, you know, they shouldn't win as much at the end to try to, you know, screw them over of a great pick. But like Pat, like you said, they got a bunch of first rounders. They can move up. They can make some moves to kind of change that if that does happen. I think keeping the good vibes going is also a good thing to have, because this is a team that you do want to build and have some positive stuff going for you.
Yeah.
You know, the young guys, and I still don't like the losing. You don't want to develop a losing mentality, especially when you're rebuilding, it's easy to get put into that because you do lose a lot because of the team you got, but it's always good to have that winning mentality. And the end to that losing culture is a bad thing to get into. And I think keeping that positivity, but also, I mean, it's hard to do to get both positive and having that great pick, but if they can try to kind of get a mix of both, I think that's a successful second half.
Super good points. What I would just like to potentially chime in here is, for me, I'm not even as focused on the wins and losses. I don't think they're going to go on any crazy run. I mean, they could with the lottery if they move up to, you know, the 29th worst team in the league, and then they could slip a little bit more, I suppose. But I'm not as concerned about that because of all of the assets that they have. For me, it's all about player development. It's all about watching players like JJ Mosier, who's just playing unbelievable hockey for a kid his age, what, 21, and his first year in the league. And he's just, considering the team that he's on, he's playing unbelievable. Yeah. Your guys like Vemelka, who he's a little bit older as a rookie, 25, but you don't want to burn his psyche. And then even to a lesser extent, your guys down in Tucson, you want to keep your eyes there and see how guys like Prozvatov, who's actually backing up right now because Wedgwood's on the COVID list, but he'll go back to Tucson, and you want to see how guys like him develop. To me, it's more about player development. That's what's going to define a good second half, and health. Keep your guys safe and healthy. Send Liam O'Brien out as many times as you need to drop the gloves, because keep your guys relatively healthy. It's hockey. You're going to go through injuries, but you don't want to see any bad injuries that could impact this team for the long-term future. So I'm 100% less focused on the wins and losses, and I understand where you're coming from completely. But I kind of lean towards the health and development side of it at this stage in the season. So all really, really good perspectives. Don't forget, you at home, please sign up for the Hockey Writers Morning Skate at morningskate.io so you don't miss any of the best daily hockey newsletter on the planet. It's delivered every weekday, 8 a.m. sharp, so you're the first to know what's happening in the world of hockey. So go sign up. Just do it. You'll like it, I promise. All right. Paid some bills. Our producer's on the show, so I know we're on the air for another week. Let's talk, speaking of development, let's talk prospects. And before we start talking about potential future prospects, let's talk about everybody's favorite prospect right now. The one, the only, Dylan Gunther. And Matthew, I know you've been doing quite a bit with the WHL lately, so can't wait to hear what you have to say on the subject. Really quick, just to frame up Dylan Gunther's season with the Edmonton Oil Kings. Number one, he's got 11 points in his last five games and 24 points in his last 13 games. He's second on the team in points behind Josh Williams, but he's played eight fewer games at the same time. He's got 43 points. Williams has 49 points, and that's kind of where Edmonton stands right now. Now, Edmonton is a really, really good team, top to bottom, right? So there's always a benefit to that, but you also can't take away from this teenager what he's doing and how he's doing it in the WHL. So, Matthew, we want to start with you, especially given all of your expertise, not only around prospects, but with the WHL as well. Dylan Gunther, what have you seen out of him? What do you expect from him?
Oh, there's so much you can say about him. He should change his middle name to Goals, because it should be Dylan Goals Gunther, because he just doesn't know how not to score. Like you mentioned it, he's been scoring on a big tear right now. He's on a 4-game goal streak, 5-game point streak, 6 mm-hmm. if you include the World Juniors, which he had 2 assists just before he went back. So, I mean, he's failed to score in only 14 of his 30 games. So about half the time he's scored a goal, 16 multi-point games, 4 times with at least a 3-game goal streak, 3 times with a 5-game point, 1 7-game point streak. These are just ridiculous numbers. I mean, he's never gone more than 1 game without a point. So, I mean, he's never gone on like these.
That's crazy.
Yeah. These slumps. He just doesn't do it. So he goes 1 game and then he's like, I'm back and I'll have another 5 games with a goal or a point. So he just doesn't stop scoring. Yes, he's on a team. You mentioned he's on a great team, but he's their leader. He's the one that does, that mm-hmm. is the main guy. They got stronger with Serda from the Giants now. I mean, that team is just going to be a favorite, but Genther's going to be the guy leading the way. The Coyotes fans should be, they're already excited for this guy to play.
Oh yeah.
They already saw him in the preseason, what yep. he can do. This guy's amazing. And like I say, I wish the Canucks would have drafted him, but they traded that away, whatever. But I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch him either way.
He slipped all the way down to 9, and the Coyotes, you don't say this very often, the Coyotes lucked out on that one. They weren't even going to have a pick. Armstrong, obviously the deal, I believe it's the OEL deal, right? Yeah. With the Canucks, like you said, that brought that pick to the desert, and it already appears to be paying dividends. Although the NHL is a lot different than the WHL. Now that said, like you said, Matthew, fans have already seen him perform in the NHL preseason. You know, not a chance to make the team, not because of his own skill level, but because of where the team is. You want him in there playing, leading, getting that confidence building mentality. And he's also got to grow into his big boy body yet. So there's some work to be done there, but really good perspective there, Matthew. Haynes, your thoughts on, again, I'm driving the hype train, no doubt about it, but your thoughts on Dylan Gunther, what have you seen from him with the Oil Kings this year, and what do you hope to see out of him in the not too distant future?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the hype train with you. I think Grandy, you know Grandy on the mm-hmm. podcast,
yeah.
I think he's riding the hype train with you. I can't think how many times he sends us a spicy deal tweet about a goal he scored, which seems to be every 5 minutes, even when they're not playing. I think I get a tweet about him and scoring. What can you not say about him? I mean, he's on a tear absolutely right now, and with the Oil Kings, he's playing on a great team, first off, like you said, Matthew. I mean, that team in Edmonton is loaded. They have to be favorites to win out in the WHL, and you have to think they got to be favorites to potentially go to the Memorial Cup and win it all. It's a great team, top to bottom. They're stocked everywhere. They're stacked everywhere. And I mean, Dylan Gunther leads that charge. And like we saw in preseason, we saw in the rookie tournament, this kid could play in the NHL today. He's not going to. As long as this team is rebuilding, he is not going to. But he could very well play in the NHL right now. That's how good he is, and that just speaks volumes considering that this kid fell to ninth overall.
Yeah.
And, you know, fans honestly are excited for this kid for the future. I mean, why would you not be? I mean, he's easily has a career path that's going to set him up for immediate success going along in the future in the NHL. And, you know, the only thing I want to see is just him continue to just dominate like he is. I mean, honestly, yep. Next year, he's probably going to be back in the WHL. Maybe in Tucson near the end of the season, depending on how their season goes. But I mean, you just gotta be excited. I mean, this kid, whether it's next year, which it won't be, or 3 years from now, whenever he comes to NHL, this kid is going to do a lot very quickly once he makes his debut in the NHL.
Makes perfect sense. Matthew, I'm going to put you on the spot really quick because I don't think this is even in the realm of possibility, but you're kind of the expert with how these things work. Is there any chance you think the Coyotes fans see Gunther for 9 or fewer games at the end of the year?
End of this season?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. Okay. The Oil Kings are going to go leave. I mean, he has to leave once the playoffs are over, and he's going to go all the way, like Payne said, to the Memorial Cup, I believe. And unless something drastic happens with that team, I think they are destined for that. And it would be surprising to me if he would play.
Me too, but I was hoping that you would say something different and be like, no, you're being too, why wouldn't they? He's only 19. His ELC won't kick in. Come on. Yeah, I wish. Okay. Anyway, I digress. I just had to ask. You can't blame a guy for trying. All right. Okay. So we've got one more topic here. It's kind of become a loving segment on the show, Tankathon 2022, but here's the deal, guys. We're about out of lottery picks. That's how long we've been doing this on this show. Because basically, show one, we started looking at lottery picks. But as I said, remember, the Coyotes have 3 first rounders, and a couple of them aren't shaping up to be that high. Montreal's was looking like it was going to be high, but the exception to that is if Montreal has a top 10 pick, then ultimately the Coyotes end up with Carolina's first round pick, which is decidedly not going to be a top 10 pick. So we're reaching in a little bit, but we're still looking at first rounders. So I want to talk about Seamus Casey. No idea. I assume I said his name right, his first name. But regardless, he's been an interesting read as I picked him. We've been doing a little research. He seems kind of polarizing. I've seen him anywhere on the board from 6 to 50.
Yeah.
And like everywhere in between it, he seems to kind of reside in the teens, to be honest, is like middle to late teens, maybe even early 20s. But if you look around the boards, anywhere from pick 6 to pick 50, American defenseman out of Miami, Florida, 18 points in 31 games on the U.S. under 18 national team, a plus 21. And that's not my favorite stat, but it's still somewhat relevant and it's used in the league. So he's plus 21. Not the biggest defenseman around, 5'10", 161 pounds, still known as a good two-way defender with solid vision that can create opportunities up the ice. So kind of a dark horse sneaking in, not a lottery pick by any stretch of the mind, but certainly a lot of potential and looks like he may go in the first round. So there I am setting the stage. Haynes, we'll start with you because we'll let our prospect guru get the last word here. So Haynes, what have you seen looking up Seamus Casey, the young defenseman out of Miami, Florida? What would the Coyotes be getting if they drafted him?
Yeah, I did a little bit of a look into Casey in the last few days, last day or two since you kind of threw him out that we were talking about him. And you know what I kind of learned from watching a little bit of film was he lacks size and strength, which is honestly 5'10 as a defenseman is relatively short for a defenseman, but he makes up for it with great awareness and a great shot. He's a smart kid and he makes smart plays and he has a great shot, but those two areas in the size and strength, honestly, size is hard to work on. If that's the size that he's going to be forever, that's the size he's going to be forever. He can't adjust that, but the strength he needs to work on a little bit. I think if he can get that over, you give him a couple years to kind of develop, maybe down the minors, back in juniors, wherever. I think this kid can end up as a really good top 4 defensive player for you going forward down the future. But Matthew has much more knowledge over this kid than I do.
So that's a very good segue. Matthew, your thoughts, your research on Seamus Casey. What have you seen out of the young lad, and what would the Coyotes be getting if they ended up drafting him?
Well, he's now one of my favorite defensemen in this first round. There's quite a few, but watching Quinn Hughes up in Vancouver here, he reminds me a lot of him. Maybe not as elite level hockey IQ that Hughes does have, but the skating is very similar. You watch him, watch a lot of his skating. It's like I was watching Hughes out there, because his edges, the way he can turn on a dime, his maneuverability is probably one of the better passers. His first pass is really good. Like you said, Haynes, yeah, he does need to add the size and strength, but that was Quinn Hughes as well. He's a smaller defenseman. I think he's 5'10 as well. So, you know, that skating can make up for this, because they just don't get hit. I mean, they just maneuver themselves out of those areas in the forecheck. They're just a one man. They can beat the forecheck by just skating it out or passing it. And this is what he does. He's also got great puck handling skills as well. You see a lot of his highlights, he's just dancing around guys. And yeah, he may have that, you know, the offensive guys, they try to do too much sometimes, and he does get caught doing that, but he's got that two-way ability. His defense still needs to be worked on, but that's most defensemen. They need to be, right? But he's probably the definition of like a modern-day defenseman that you need in the NHL. I mean, yes, he's smaller, but there's so many guys that are just, you know, Torrey Krug, Quinn Hughes.
Oh, yeah.
There's someone, a guy in Minnesota, I don't remember his name now, but I mean, the young, you know, these smaller guys are succeeding in the NHL. And I think Casey's going to be that. He is polarizing. Like I said, Craig Button has him at 50th, Smott Scouting has him at 6th. So that's a huge gap. I mean, there's a second round pick compared to a top 10 pick. So, you know, I think probably part of it is the size and his defensive game. So we'll see what happens, but I love his skating. That's probably my favorite part of his game.
Thanks for revealing my sources and my research when I said anywhere from 6th to 50. Yep, that's Smott and Button. Yep, those are the bookends. I love it. In case we haven't convinced you at home with our first two plugs, sign up for the Morning Skate newsletter. If you do, you'll get to relive some of Wes McCauley's most legendary moments as a referee. 5 minutes for fighting.
Fighting!
Morning Skate has the type of content that is bound to put a smile on your face. Make sure you join the fun at morningskate.io. And that is it for us. Matthew, so much for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always great to have you. Haynes, fun as always. For you at home, we always appreciate you tuning in. Can't wait to see you next time. Cheers.